Welcome to Live, Love, Engage, the podcast where we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. I am your host, Gloria Grace Rand, the insightful copywriter and founder of The Love Method. My mission is to help you stop doubting yourself so you can live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. Namaste and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand, and today I've got a guest who is a real expert on family life, and she's a business owner. So this should give you a hint about that's what we're going to talk about today, is the challenges of doing both. Because as I am a mom myself with two grown kids, they weren't that grown when I first started my business, and I know it can be a bit challenging. So I want to welcome to Live, Love, Engage, Lori Richens. And I hope I'm pronouncing your last name right. I forgot to ask you. Is it Richens?
Indeed, it is.
Oh, good. Okay, awesome. Well, I am glad to have you on the show today. She is a personal and family empowerment coach, energy healing facilitator, body language advisor, and certified emotion code practitioner. And she has spent a lifetime seeking understanding and wisdom regarding the purpose of pain and suffering in our lives, and helping having overcome past physical and emotional trauma herself, Lori now empowers others to do the same. And her business is actually called Whole Family Mentoring, and she helps families to heal and feel whole again in that business. And she also shares positive family messages during the Family First segment each week on the Allison H. Larson Spotlight Radio Show. And she's also an author. She's got a book coming out later this year, so that's something we have in common. Our book is going to be called Fortified: 10 Strategies to Strengthen Your Family and Live a Meaningful Life. And Lori considers her marriage of 35 years and being the mother of 7 children her greatest joy and accomplishment. And you know what? That is something to be proud of. You should be, because you don't hear of that many people, number one, being married that long, although I will say that I've been married 31 years, so I'm catching up to you. But being a mother of 7 children, my hat is off to you, even though I don't have one physically on my head. But if I would, I'd take it off, because I had enough trouble with 2. I can't even imagine raising 7 children. So tell me.
We just ended up having our 10th grandchild born, and we're expecting the 11th. And it's true, no matter at what age you are, as your children are growing, they still need you. There's still a demand for your time and your attention, and it is substantial. Whether you have 2 or whether you have 7, your role as a parent never ends.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. And that is something I think that people don't always think about necessarily. It's like, you know, you think that when your kids are grown and they're adults and they're out of the house, that you don't have to worry so much. But speaking on behalf of my husband, we've had a daughter who spent some time in Europe earlier this year, and now she's actually on her way back, and he's fretting over it. So even though she is a grown woman, she's in her late 20s, she can manage herself, and she's already proven that she can manage herself. We still worry, don't we?
As it should be. We should feel that connection no matter how old our children are.
Yeah, absolutely. So I thought we'd start with talking a little bit about the challenges that come up with, you know, running a business, number one, just in the best of times, for instance, or just the fact of being a business owner. That can be, a lot of people consider it their baby. But so if you're trying to grow that baby, and then you've got babies at home, and no matter how old they are, that can be some added stress. So how have you managed to do it? Because my goodness, you've certainly are very accomplished, and you've done a lot of, I can tell, a lot of studying yourself to be able to be, you know, coaching in different modalities and things like that. So how have you managed to raise 7 children and be a businesswoman at the same time?
Well, most of my business activity came later when my children were a bit older. But we made a decision, my husband and I, that if I was going to go into a business of my own, that we're not dependent on my income. That was one of the ways that would allow us to not have the stress of me having extra responsibilities, because if something ended up happening where I needed to have my full attention at home, I could. So that's just something somebody could consider. I do want to say my husband came home. We had a friend whose child was in crisis. My husband came home from work one day and I was at home myself. And my husband's a very calm, very practical man, but he came home at lunch and he said something that I'll never forget. And he doesn't usually get riled up, but he said, "I cannot replace you." And he said, "I cannot do what you do as the mother in our home." And he said, "It's my job to make sure that all of our needs are met so you're available for our children." And what he was recognizing is when this other family member or this other friend had a family member who was in crisis, he suddenly had this big radar feeling that happened, recognizing how many things as a mother I've intercepted over the years from intuition, from inspiration, whatever it happens to be. And he recognizes that I am irreplaceable. So that is one of the ways we've kept it in balance, where I am free to cancel appointments. I'm free to do whatever I need to make myself available if necessary. Not everyone's going to be in that position to do that. But another thing that happened is I was an energy worker for a while. I've had actually a long history. I used to be a private school teacher at an academy when my children were quite small. A couple of years ago, I ran for political office and I ran for state representative. And that was a powerful experience because my son voted for the first time that year and his mother's name was on the ballot.
Oh, wow.
And it was quite a special experience. Yeah. And he was part of my rallying team. So he really worked at getting, you know, his fellow classmates and friends advocating behind me as well. Aww. So I mention that because the reason why my business is called Whole Family Mentoring is for two reasons. Not just because I mentor any age within a family, a whole family dynamic. I've actually used my own family members, my husband, my children. Sometimes we come in as a team and work with a client. And so they get to see what it's like to have a parent-son relationship or a parent-husband or a mother and a father working together. So that whole family approach has been really successful.
Wow, that's impressive. I don't think I've ever heard of any other type of I don't know if you want to say counseling, but definitely mentoring, I guess, it is a good word to say. Well, of course, that's what you say. That's what you're calling it. But I love how that you're able to bring the whole family together. That's awesome. And it is fortunate that you're able to do that, that you and your husband were able to come to that agreement, that you were able to be able to, you know, take time out to be with the kids if they need you, and you're able to sort of pause your business, as you say. I actually had a similar circumstance as well, is that my husband still is supporting the family and he encouraged me to, you know, do the business. But especially when I first started, my kids were still in middle school and high school. And so I was still, you know, schlepping them to, all sorts of different things, you know, and waiting in the car line to pick them up from school and things like that. But I had that flexibility. Also, working from home allowed me to do that as well. And so I could still run errands and things that he wasn't able to get done during the week. Is there, we were talking a little bit actually before we started recording, another challenge, I guess, for just parents in general, because you're mentioning that you actually, the youngest is now off in college. And so you are now officially an empty nester. And that presents its own unique challenges, doesn't it? What's been your experience of that so far?
Yeah, that took me by surprise. I went into grieving for about 3 days. I cleaned and I cried and I cleaned and I cried. And that's one of the ways that I move forward in life, is I clean or I take on a project so that I know that I'm going from point A to point B. But I realized that so many couples, I've heard this expressed, that a husband and wife don't quite know what to do with themselves after they have children out of the equation. And my husband did something very dear, and he ended up bringing me some flowers, and he brought me a treat, and he just recognized that for me it was a very different transition than it was for him. And I'm the nurturer in the family, and so one thing I do have to say though is you know that you've been successful when your children know how to fly on them, on their own,
right?
And I feel like I've been a mother bird for 34 years, bringing worms back to the nest and feeding my children. And one of the things that I recognize, though, is that feeding of my children does not end because they're not in my home. And I just recently went to NLP training, and so now I'm a certified trainer in that capacity as well. And I had a couple hour conversation with my business son. And I taught him the things that I know, and I keep passing on my information so that my children are empowered. And anything I learn, I make sure that they have a taste of. Or I've been on podcasts and, radio shows, and I've had my children there with me as guests. Or I've done, I've taped the two of us together problem solving a family issue, and then I've presented that to an audience. And so that dynamic, whether they're in your home or elsewhere, they still need your guidance and their counsel, some more than others. But your job as a parent never ends. And I realized how sweet it is actually not to have distraction from my husband. We can just blossom even more in our relationship. It's different.
Yes, right.
But it's sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it is. It is a different dynamic, and I know I've experienced that myself because both of my kids now are out of the house as well. And of course, now this year, though, has been a little interesting because as we're recording this, it's the very end of September, and we've had the pandemic. So my husband, who normally works in an office a few miles away, I have been working from home for years. He's been home since March. And so that's presented a whole new twist on our relationship and being able to juggle. Luckily, his office is at the other end of the house than mine is. But still, it's been different having him home. How have you managed? Was he able to continue working at an office, or was he at home, or how have you been managing this year?
So he's also a business owner. He owns his own CPA firm. And so for a while I did my energy work within my own home. And then I started feeling like I really needed to get my home back to focusing on my own family. And so eventually he rented out a space that was larger for his office. And now I have a room right across the hall from him where I see my clients if they're local. If it's from Zoom or video or phone, then of course I still can do that outside in my home. But I've asked my husband at times, because most of the work that I do with clients now is actually through video. Okay. And I, honey, if you need that office space across the hall, you're welcome to take that back for whoever might need it.
Right.
And I really like the feeling of having you nearby. I like that feeling of having my wife, near me.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why that is also very helpful, sometimes if I'm working with a husband-wife dynamic, or even if I'm working with somebody else's son, and like my husband's very athletic, there have been times when I've gone across the hall and I've knocked on his door and I've said, honey, can you come in? We need your perspective. So I'll ask him a question and I'll say, this is the dilemma that this family's dealing with. Can you give the male perspective? Mm-hmm. And sometimes the husband needs validation by hearing another man say, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
The woman needs my perspective as well. And then we work it out together. Mm-hmm. And it's really beautiful because it's all... good coaching is all about validating where they're at and then showing them a better way. Mm. So that's my approach.
Awesome. Well, now that you've mentioned this, you were taking some other, studying other modalities like neuro-linguistic programming. What actually drew you to explore different, you know, being an energy healer and things like that. What prompted you to go down this path?
Yeah, thank you for asking that, because it's really important that we know the foundation as to why somebody propels into a certain direction, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So about 15 years ago, I became incredibly ill. I literally felt like I was going to die. My adrenal glands were not functioning well. I was losing my hearing. I was losing my vision. I lost a tremendous amount of weight. I was having trouble sustaining my blood sugar. And I come from a background of severe trauma. And you can only run, you can only stay a step ahead of the pain for so long. Mm. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people just keep functioning forward when they're not peering into their past to find out the reasons for, you know, why you do what you do.
Yeah.
And I believe it's a fallacy that you leave the past in the past and you just look forward to the future, because the past is what has your pearls.
Yeah.
The past is what allows you to understand why you do what you do, and then you can correct what needs to be improved upon. So there's a pattern that we establish when we have certain life experiences. And so with that, I realized that my health was tanking because I had a lot of unresolved pain. And so with that, I discovered when having to be faced with additional present trauma, it triggered memories of my past. And I ended up realizing that I had suppressed some really ugly, severe things that had happened when I was a child, completely blocked it out.
Yeah.
So not only was I dealing with this health issue, I was triggered with the memories of the things that happened to me that I had never addressed.
Mm.
So after getting through that, and I nearly divorced my husband, this is really important for your audience members. It is not your spouse's responsibility to fix your issues.
That's true.
They have the tools and they have needs of their own. And when you're unable to meet those needs and you're expecting them to fix you or hoping that they can fix you, it puts a burden on your relationship that causes many, many marriages to break. So it's just an unfair expectation. You need to get an outside source to come and help you both.
Yeah.
And so once I got my family stabilized and once I got my health back in order, I started realizing that there were some modalities that were helpful, more helpful than others. And I started to immerse myself in those so that I could be a resource for others. Mm. I speak the language. I know what trauma is. I know what it feels like. I know what it looks like. I know what it sounds like. I know what it does to families. I'm a very authentic coach because I've been there. And then I realized that, at least for me, traditional medical help actually delayed my progress. They didn't know what to do with a whole package.
Yeah.
Of a person who's breaking. So I realized that there were other modalities that, at least for me, were very effective. And so I just kept immersing myself. And I'm a person of faith, and I actually had a distinct impression that one day I was in my kitchen, and I just had this distinct feeling come to me that what I knew had tremendous value. Mm-hmm. And what I had learned in this process and keeping a family structure strong despite my own brokenness in my past.
Right.
Just chaotic family structure, that people needed that. And I needed to do something to get in the public eye and to get in a public situation where I could pass on what I know.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad you had that, a little tap on the shoulder, divine intervention, I like to call it, because I've certainly experienced that myself. And yeah, I can relate to your story so much because I've had trauma as a child as well, and went through some tough times with my husband because I don't know that I was necessarily looking to him to fix it, but I just was unhappy, and really it stemmed from just being unhappy with myself. And so I had to, you know, go through some work and being able to address that. And so it's managed to be, you know, things have gotten a little calmer now and getting along a bit better because of that. I just wanted to, and this is a little side trip, so pardon me, but I'm just seeing, for those of you who are listening, you're not going to appreciate this, but if you're watching on YouTube, you have a lovely sign that is over the door that says, "This kitchen is for dancing," at least if that is correct. And I love that. What What's the meaning you make out of that expression? Because I love to dance anyway, and I love being in the kitchen. So I just wanted to, curious to know if there's anything about that.
Oh, I'm so glad you actually went in that direction, because I have kind of a fun story to tell. So dancing creates connection. Hmm. And you touch, you know, you hold hands, whether it's with your child or with your spouse. And so I love the movement of dance. So I waltz, and I, you know, I grew up in the Midwest. I can polka. I can swing dance, one of my favorite things to do. Mm. So I taught all of my children how to do that. And when I married my husband, he did not feel comfortable dancing. He still doesn't love it.
Yeah.
One thing I realized is I was not going to let my sons leave our home without them knowing how to hold a woman properly in his arms and how to lead a woman. And so I taught all of our children how to dance. And interestingly, I realized too, we're a social family. So because I grew up with trauma and there was a lot of stress in our home, mm-hmm. I think it's very important to open our home to our children's friends, mm-hmm. or to my friends, to just give them an experience of what it's like to be really welcomed and to feel a warm, safe environment. So some years ago, my teenage son, we had about 28, I think, kids over for a big party. And I had an impression, again, one of those little taps on the shoulder, mm-hmm. that I needed to teach them how to swing dance. And my son was a little nervous about it. And I said, trust me on this, honey.
Yeah.
So I broke down our kitchen table, you know, and moved it off to the side, right. and moved the chairs out. And we taught all of these youth how to swing dance. And it ended up being one of their absolute favorite memories. In fact, we scheduled a second time for them to come, mm-hmm. and again. Now, if I may, I'd love to share what that means on a deeper level.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, great. So I actually am a registered Métis Indian, M-E-T-I-S, in Canada. Some of, you know, maybe some Canadians are listening and they've heard that, and it's a very substantial you know, tribe up there. Well, I knew nothing about what the tribal, what Indian people in the Métis culture do. I knew nothing. And yet, I ended up going to Washington, D.C. to the Native American Smithsonian Institute. Mm. And they had a whole section on the Métis Indian culture. Oh, and of course, I immediately got swept into it because I was visiting. And this is what's really important. I learned that in that culture, three things are very important. And this is going to explain nature versus nurture, right? Is something that you have that just naturally comes within you versus nurturing and you being taught.
Right.
So I learned that there were three things really important in the Métis culture. One was a certain kind of scarf. It has a certain weave and it has a certain color combination to it. Hmm. The second thing was the fiddle. They really liked music, and fiddle ended up being part of their history. Mm-hmm. And the third thing was dancing. Hmm. And what was interesting is in one section of this museum where the Métis were being kind of explored and shared, right. they actually used the term. Somebody said, in our culture, in our home, if we had a table, we would break it down, mm-hmm. and then we would dance in the kitchen. And I had just done that.
Oh, wow.
And I have a real fetish for scarves. Like, I have probably 40 different scarves that I wear. And at that time, I was taking violin lessons.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And all three were kind of attached to their culture. I was already immersed in, and I knew nothing about it. So when I talk to people, I like to know, what is your background? What is your culture? What were you trained to understand? What is just natural? It kind of allows you some freedom to feel peace about who you are, because it's deeper mm-hmm. than what you might recognize.
Yeah. Oh, what a beautiful story. I'm glad that for whatever reason that sign called me today so that you could share that. That's so awesome. I love it. I know what I wanted to ask you about. So because as I am, as I'm recording this, I'm in the process of writing a book. I set a goal now to have it be published next February, especially around Valentine's Day. And also February was the month my sister was born in, and it deals with a little bit of my relationship with her. You're writing a book, called Fortified, 10 Strategies to Strengthen Your Family and Live a Meaningful Life. So what prompted you to decide to go down that road? And is there something, maybe you can share one or two of the strategies that you're writing about as well?
Yes. Well, again, it was one of those just deep impressions. I woke up on a Sunday morning, I was quietly laying in bed, and I had a very distinct impression that I needed to write this book. It's changed a little bit since the beginning. It's mm-hmm. in the editing process right now, so it's pretty much complete.
Awesome.
But what I've learned is, you know, we've had a lot of people in high places who have toppled. You know, we're thinking about Hollywood, we're thinking about politics.
Right.
A lot of people that we've placed on pedestals really have not led noble lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that we have everyday heroes that have made some extraordinarily positive, meaningful decisions that we need to learn more about. And I myself have had some pretty significant life experiences that have taught some really important life lessons. So the book is a weaving, it's like a metaphor book of actual true stories, parables mm-hmm. of stories of people's life experiences, how they've faced real tragedy. And we go into that pain and we find these pearls. And one of the things that I recognized for me is when pain does not make sense.
Mm.
When there's senselessness in our life, it's hard to move forward.
Right.
But if we find meaning in each of the experiences that we have, then we realize that our Father in heaven was entrusting us with life experiences to make us better. Mm. It wasn't a punishment. It wasn't right. an abandonment. It was literally a gift.
Yes.
So in I just want to share briefly, if I may, My son, who's now 21, when he was 6 years old, he was run over in our driveway by our oldest daughter.
Oh, oh.
You know, just 5 days before she was getting married. So,
oh my gosh,
I've got this wedding to do. My son is now, you know, being life-lighted. I'm in an ambulance. I'm in a helicopter, and then I'm in a hospital for 9 days with a son who's needing major back surgery because his back broke in 4 places, and he was 6.
Oh.
And there came a moment after his surgery where he was doing fantastic. He was in the hospital the same day, of course, and he was doing fantastic. And all of a sudden, he went like to a new place where he started screaming and practically scratching his eyes out. He just, it was the
most
horrible thing to see as a parent. As
yeah. Mom.
And so I had to hand that over to the nurses, and I stepped out in the foyer, and I'm trying to collect myself with the fact that my son is screaming his head off.
Yeah.
And I heard a little voice that said, "There is purpose in his pain."
Mm.
And afterwards, I found out that it was the combination of the anesthesia and some other things that caused this headache.
Oh.
Terrible headache. And so I had to explore that later. You know, what does that mean? There's purpose in his pain. He's 6 years old. How can there be value in my son's suffering?
Right.
In this book, I explain the value of that pain and how it transformed my son, how it changed our family, and how pain has purpose.
Yeah.
And when we find that out, we realize that it's actually such a valuable thing to learn how to become comfortable with discomfort.
Mm.
To be able to still process when you're in pain, and the fact that you become such a better person on the other end if you know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So I help clients to know not only what to do with their pain, how to move past it.
Yeah, that's so important. Yeah, and I do love how you said to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, because that is something that so often we want to just run from it. We want to numb the pain, and I know I've done that. Food has been one of my ways, and then in my family, my father, you know, drank it. That was one way he numbed the pain, and it doesn't work. It's just, you know, it's a temporary stopgap, but it still isn't, you're not addressing the underlying problem. And once you get to that, that's when you can make progress. So, yeah, I can, oh my gosh, as a mom, I was just like, And how did your daughter, actually, that's actually who my heart also went out to her, because I can only imagine, you know, if I was the one person driving the car, how terrible I would feel. How did she manage?
Yeah, so I actually had two wounded children. I had the victim, and then I had the person who caused it. Of course, my daughter, who is a treasure. And I would not let the ambulance leave with my son and, of course, me in the ambulance with them until I told them, I said, wait. And I ran into the house to hold my daughter momentarily so that I could feel like at least she knows, you know, we love her. This, we're going to get past this. You're going to be okay. Yeah. But I'll give you a little glimpse into the book. There's a chapter that I share that's really meaningful. People who've read it, who've read my book, said they've just cheered in triumph. And at other times they've wept because they've understood the moment.
Right.
Very, very meaningful book. But there came a moment when, now mind you, my son had to wear a brace from his upper torso down to his hips.
Oh, sure.
For 3 months because his back was wired and fused. And my daughter had come home after being married. It was sometime, you know, after the accident, and she was cleaning out her old bedroom. Mm. And she was getting ready to move to a new city. And she was in the room with my other daughter, and completely unprovoked, this little six-year-old little brother comes in to her and just simply says, Rachel, I forgive you.
Aww.
And in his little heart, he knew that his sister must be carrying a burden that needed to be lifted. And she just wrapped him up in her arms and said, I'm so sorry, Jacob. And I think there's a way when you handle disaster, when you handle crisis calmly and appropriately, there need not be scars.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we had helped Jacob through it in a way that was really healthy. We had made sure to pay attention to Rachel. And so as siblings, they took care of it themselves. Mm. And they're very close. So yeah. No scars. No scars.
Very good. That's awesome. I'm like mental blank there for a second. So when you said that the book is being edited, do you have a tentative date of when you think it may be released?
Yeah, we're hoping in the next couple of months. If anybody would like a free chapter, I would love. In fact, had I sent you one already? Did you already get one?
You know, I think you did, and I apologize. I don't think I've had a chance to look at it, but I'm going to go. But now I definitely want to read it now that you've shared that.
Yeah. The chapter is that I usually send out to people is chapter 8, and I just want to preface it by this. I ended up having an experience with my dad. I didn't find my birth father until I was 50 years old. Mm. And I just want to leave a little cliffhanger here. There came a moment where I had an experience with my dad, where God literally transformed time. He shifted time so that I could have an experience with my dad that only God could give me. Mm. And it was a little miracle of something that had happened. And it helped me to understand that there is nothing that will be taken from us. When all is said and done, everything will be restored back to us. And that little chapter gives you a little glimpse of how that will happen.
Mm, awesome. Well, how can those who are listening or watching on YouTube, how can they find that? What's your website?
Yep. Yes. Feel free to go to my website and learn a little bit more about me. It's wholefamilymentoring.com. And you're free to also email me at wholefamilymentoring@gmail.com. I'd love to send out that chapter. And I'm looking forward to the book being finished. It's one of those books that one of my readers said that she felt this undercurrent of peace throughout the entire book. And she said that though the last page was closed, the book will stay with me forever. Mm. And I thought that was a meaningful review. So looking forward to sharing that with others.
Oh, awesome. Well, I can't wait to get it myself and read it. So it sounds awesome. Well, I am really blessed that you were able to spend some time with us today and share your experiences and some excellent advice on, you know, to be able to help families, business owners, and everyone really, just because everyone grows up in a family, whether you even have a family of your own, you still are part of a family in some way. So to being able to manage that, or just to be able to create a family that is filled with love and joy and fun, I think is awesome. So do more dancing out there.
There's a good chance we might break out and dance.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you for being here. I so appreciate you, and thank everyone out there as well for listening and watching. I appreciate you. And until next time, in addition to dancing, go out and live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically. One more thing before you go. As a valued listener of the Live, Love, Engage podcast, I want to help you shine your light in the world, not only while you're listening to the show, but all day, every day of the week. That's why I created the Live, Love, Engage Spiritual Awakening Community on Facebook. It's a place for you to gather with other business professionals and entrepreneurs who are committed to living the life of their dreams. If you want to be a part of this community and receive free trainings from me, go to liveloveengage.com and request to join. That's liveloveengage.com.